Are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure that you will just continue to identify yourself as being a separate body. These are songs of praise to fear. Do not put your faith in pills, money, protected clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, because it will not sustain you. Only the love of your Creator. Only the love of your Creator. You did not create yourself. You did not create yourself. You did not create yourself. Only the love of your Creator will protect you in all circumstances. The love of your Creator will lift you out of every trial. The love of your Creator will raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace. The love of your Creator will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon your eternal calm, you child of God. So don't put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, because it will fail you ultimately. Put all your faith into the love of God within you. It's eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. Putting your faith in the Creator's love for you is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of your Creator within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today, I am sustained by the love of God. Remembering that you are sustained by the love of your Creator for you is a declaration of release from the belief in idols. Acknowledging that you are sustained by the love of God is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea that you are sustained by the love of God sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize that it's true. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. God, Spirit, allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Don't let any idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind. Don't allow any idle or foolish thoughts to enter to disturb your mind. Not having any cares, any worries, any anxieties. Not letting any idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place where your Creator has placed you forever. You are sustained by the love of God. No matter what seems to be happening, no matter what you feel right now, no matter what's going on in your life, you are sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 Thank you.
thing?
Yeah, maybe I have to. It's like, to me, you know, taking a minute to go within is like taking a shower. It's like, yeah, it's like releasing. You have to release. You have to release it, you know. After a hard day of trying to prove that we're separate, you have to rest. After a hard day of trying to prove how separate we are, you have to take a minute to rest. You know, that's hard work. A hard day of trying to prove we're on our own, trying to do it by ourselves against external forces that seem to be beyond our control. That's tiresome. You know, you have to take a minute after you get through doing that all day. So remember, you don't have to believe these ideas, accept these ideas, welcome these ideas. Some of these ideas you may actively resist. Some of these ideas you may find startling, hard to believe. But if you use it, you'll see that it works. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to remove all the blocks to being aware of the fact that we're just totally loving and lovable. And so the purpose of the Course is to give us peace of mind, give us a way of looking at things that will give us peace of mind. And then the promise is, when you allow yourself to have internal peace, then you'll be able to hear your spiritual guidance, your inner guidance that we all have, that's directing you very specifically about what to do in every moment in order to have complete joy. That's the purpose of the Course. The purpose of the Course is to help us achieve peace of mind. There's a certain point on the spiritual path that you just can't go any further by yourself. By the time a person gets into studying the Course in Miracles, they're at that point. They're at the point that they're ready to accept that they don't know everything, and there may be something more intelligent than they are, more loving than they are. And they're willing to tune into that. Then that's when life really starts to get easy. That's what I want. I want an easy life, full of love, that continually blesses everybody in my life. That's what I want. I sure in the heck don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do that by myself, and I'm not going to try to do it by myself. So I'm going to teach from a section tonight that's deep. It's called The Immediacy of Salvation. It's on page 558. In other words, salvation is another term for happiness. So this section tonight is going to be on the immediacy of love, the immediacy of happiness. Would you like to have it immediately?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The one remaining problem that you have is you see an interval between the time when you forgive and when you will receive the benefits of it, trusting your brother. The problem is, I see an interval of time between when I forgive and I receive the benefits of trusting a person. This but reflects the little you would keep between you and your brother, that you be a little, might be a little separate. Because time and space are one illusion that takes different form. In other words, if it's been projected beyond your mind, you think of it as time. If it's been projected beyond your mind, and you think of it as space, the nearer it's brought to where you think you are. Real simple example of that. At some point you might have been driving here and you may have said something like, I'm 15 minutes away from the church. And by the time you got to the steps, you said, you would be thinking, I'm a few feet. So the closer you get to it, you think of it in terms of space. The further you project it from yourself, you think of it in terms of time. So time and space are the same illusion. You know what I'm saying? When I walked out the door to come over here, I didn't say I was 5,050 feet from the church. I said I was about 10 minutes from the church. right? You see what I mean? So the closer you are to it, we think of it in terms of space. The further we are away from it, we think of it in terms of time. And so time and space are just one illusion that takes different forms. So, he says, there's a distance you would keep apart from your brother, and this space you perceive as time. Because you still believe that you're external to a person, it makes trust impossible. As long as I think I'm not connected to you, as long as I think I am not you, as long as I think we are not united, as long as I think we are not joined, it makes trust impossible. As long as I think you're just out for you, and I'm just out for me, and it's not enough to go around, and I'm trying to get my little bit, and I'm trying to get special, and I'm trying to make sure nobody else gets my place, it makes trust impossible. Then it says, and you cannot believe that trust would solve every problem now. So the average person does not believe that trust would solve every problem that they have right now. So Spirit just told us, whatever that problem is you think you have right now, whatever that situation you think you're in right now, that you use to keep yourself from being peaceful, trust would settle that problem right now. Trust. We don't have to believe it. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to welcome it. You know what's a really striking thing about the truth? Is that the truth is true whether we believe it or not. The truth has nothing to do with my believing it. That's cool. If it's true, it's just true. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. If it's true, it's just true. Whether you believe it or not, if you jump off the roof of this church, you're not going to fall up. You could be, I don't believe in gravity. You will still flop your butt right down there on that sidewalk and have to call the ambulance and haul you away. There are some things that have nothing to do with your belief. And sometimes on the spiritual path, we'll fool ourselves into thinking that our beliefs create reality. We think our beliefs create reality. And the Course says, no, God created reality. Your beliefs are creating your perception of it. Your beliefs are creating your experience of it. Your beliefs are creating what you select out of the ocean of what is your beliefs. That's your net that pulls in out of the ocean your particular kind of catch. But the ocean is there. You know, so every day we're going fishing in reality based on our beliefs, hauling in what we believe in, and that's our treasure. Some people are hauling in old bottles, and some people are hauling in a good fresh catch. But you see what I'm saying? But it's the same ocean. It's the same ocean. And then sometimes we're jealous of how good a fisher, how good some people fish. Then sometimes we want to snatch somebody else's fish. Better yet, it seems like people be trying to snatch my fish. Yeah. And then worse than that, don't nobody want me or my fish. Sometimes it looks like that. It's been a long time since somebody been on your dock, right? I know that one. I tell you. So, I love this book. It's so deep. It's gonna be. So don't try to understand everything I say. That'll slow you down. Don't try to understand. Look for what I say that makes sense to you. Don't try to understand everything I say. Okay? Because I was just told whatever problem it looks like I have, trust would solve that problem right now. Mm-hmm. Then it says, if you follow me, I'm on page 558 in the text. And it says, you cannot believe that trust would settle every problem now. He says, so you think it's safer to remain a little careful. You think it's safer to remain a little watchful of interest that you perceive as separate. I think it's rather than trusting you guys and gals, I think it's safer if I just remain a little careful and watchful of my personal separate interests from you. I'd rather try to watch for my separate interests than trust any of you all. Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody else understand that perspective? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What I like about the chorus is it just, to me, it's like it tells the truth about what's really happening.
Now.
You know, so yeah, it's like there's an idealized version of myself that I used to beat myself up about if I didn't live up to, which was just another form of my ego. And so when I didn't live up to idealized Earl, then that's beat myself up. Why couldn't I be greater? Why couldn't I be? How come I couldn't be further along? And so, you know, it's like the course is making me aware that, well, this is why you don't trust. You're real careful of your interests. You think some time's got to pass between the time you practice the truth and receive the benefit of the truth. You're not ready to join yet, so you made up time and space as an excuse to think you're separate from everybody. It's like deep answers. Answers that sure don't sound like anything I heard on TV. And then it said, you know what I mean? Isn't it amazing that more people don't commit suicide?
Oh, yeah.
I never thought about that. It's amazing. When you think about some of the things that people have as lessons and experiences in this world, it's amazing that more people don't take themselves out. Not less people, like people act like they're surprised when people commit suicide. I'm like shocked. More people don't. If you're in a world where you're afraid of being attacked, if you're in a world where there's various diseases waiting for you every second, you're in a world that you're constantly being told what you got to be on the lookout for that might hurt you. Then you go deep into denial, and then you start pretending you don't feel what you feel so that you can give yourself some joy. So denial is the way most people give themselves joy. You know? And so I think we're incredibly powerful, strong spiritual beings to continue to get up every morning, deal with the unknown, and then want to go out here and create for ourselves joy and peace, no matter what. I don't think we give ourselves enough credit.
Wow.
You know, we're incredible. Especially when we've done this with this advanced form of spiritual amnesia that's convinced us that we're bodies that die after a few years of life.
Yeah.
And have lost sight of our spiritual identity that's beyond death and that lives forever. And so now we think we're people who are separate and different, who have to protect their separate interests because we don't trust each other. You know, to be that lost off into a dream and you've forgotten love and forgotten who you are, forgotten that I have a creator that's with me at every second that's advising me, protecting me, taking care of me. You know, bought into a thought of guilt and sin and believe that there's something wrong with me and there's not enough love to go around and I hope I can make it through having money and pills and influence and prestige and being liked and knowing the right people. And I got to try to learn how to cook. To me, it's incredible that we keep on moving forward the way that we do. So the Course says, from this perception that you have to be watchful and that you are separate and that you can't trust, he says, from this perception, you cannot conceive of gaining what forgiveness offers you now. And he says, so the book is just telling, of course we can't see the benefits of what practicing the truth would give us right now and what love would give us right now if we have a perception of fear and separation. So my class, to me, it's for people who realize that they don't have some peace in some area and they want to get rid of the blocks for having that peace. And it's also for people who have peace who want to maintain that peace and increase it. So it's for those on the maintenance program as well as those that are trying to get there. All right? So he says the interval you think lies between the giving and the receiving of the gift seems to be the interval in which you suffer sacrifice and loss. So there's an interval between when I give love and receive love. There's an interval between when I give love and receive love. There seems to be an interval between when I practice the truth and receive the benefits of practicing the truth. He says it's that interval between the giving and receiving of love that you seem to experience suffering and loss. So it goes something like this is where the average person's life go. Love, 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 peace, peace, suffering, suffering, love, love, peace, peace, suffering, 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 love, 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 suffering, suffering, love, love, love. It's not consistent. Now, I like to check in with everybody to see if you experience that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you agree that it does seem like that's the way it is. Okay, so the interval between the giving and the receiving of the love is when it looks like we experience suffering and loss. Okay, so it's of course true so far. So far it says we go through love, we go through conflict. It says that we think that there's an interval of time between when we try to be nice and loving and when we receive the benefits of it. And it says that we don't complete the trust yet, and so we look out for our own personal interests in most cases. Does anybody here ever argue with that? That's why I like the course. It's because it's true. It's that's what I love about it. So then it goes on to say, you see eventual salvation, not immediate results. You see eventual healing and happiness, but not immediate results. I see eventually I'm going to get my act together and this is all going to work out, but I'm not seeing immediate results. Okay, those are the first two paragraphs. Everybody clear on what the first two paragraphs said? Any questions about what the first two paragraphs said? You got that?
Mm-hmm. Do you think trust could be allowing to allow things to happen?
That's like the ultimate trust.
To bring it in to let it happen.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate trust. You know, it's like the ultimate trust. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, I'm throwing it open. Give me a chance. Anybody got a comment? Any thought about what I've said? Does your physical experience validate this? Do you have moments that are great and moments that suck? Do you sometimes really wish you trusted more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And do you think there is time and space between us?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it is hard for me to perceive all the good things that are supposed to happen to me when I practice the truth if I'm coming from this perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like it says. He says, in other words, don't beat yourself up for seeing things in a way that's not always very positive. If you look at things this way, it's natural to look at it this way. If I don't trust and I feel separation, it's natural for me to be afraid. So don't beat yourself up for thinking you have a negative frame of mind when you're just experiencing the natural result of forgetting the truth. That's so we innocent.
Wow.
You know, you wouldn't get mad at yourself, you know, for burning your finger when you put your hand on the hot stove. You might not want to do it anymore, but it doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
It's just that you broke a law, and so you got the result of that immediately. And that's what all pain is. It's just the result of breaking the law of happiness. It's not like we're being punished because we're bad. It's just as long as you put your hand on the hot stove, it's going to hurt. So some people have their whole life as a hot stove.
Yeah.
And they don't get that it's them breaking the rule of putting their hand on the hot stove that's causing the pain. What they think is they need another stove. I need a brand new stove. So I can put, and when I put my hand on the brand new stove, then it won't hurt. That's the problem. See, I still haven't gotten it. No, I'm breaking the rule. Flesh and flame don't mix. Okay? Believing you're guilty and having a peaceful life doesn't mix. Believing you're separate from God and expecting yourself to feel safe and happy doesn't mix. Believing that everything is being caused by the outside and your consciousness has nothing to do with what's happening in your life, that just doesn't work. It's just a breaking of the law. You can't be happy if you think you're a victim of your experience. You'll never feel complete peace if you think you could die in a second. It's hard. It's hard to know your invulnerability if you think you're a body that can suffer. It's the course is saying, you know, stuff like that. Like, no, you're not bad. You're just misperceiving because you believe in what man taught you.
Right.
Well, woman, we can give equal opportunity in sin. It don't have to just be the man. Even though we know the problem is the man. Everything being caused by the man. So this section is about immediate happiness, okay? It's only like a page and a half.
How long does it have to be?
That's what's going to be immediate happiness. It's going to be immediate happiness. There shouldn't be no six chapters, should it? So we can't. Yeah, you know, both of them. Both of them. It's going to be so deep. Okay, so we have to set it up. We have to set it up. So then it goes on. It says, salvation, which the Course describes as right-mindedness, healing, forgiveness, and happiness, is immediate. Okay? So unless you perceive happiness and love as immediate, he says, you will be afraid of it. Unless I believe that I can have peace immediately, or the answer immediately, or the healing immediately, he says that you will be afraid of it. So why would I be afraid of some love that I didn't have immediately, or an answer that didn't happen immediately, or some happiness that didn't happen immediately? He says, because you believe that the risk of loss is great between the time its purpose is made yours and its effects will come to you. If it doesn't come immediately, then I could experience some kind of pain in that interval before it shows up. If it doesn't come immediately, then I could lose in that interval before it gets to me. So unless your love is going, in other words, don't tell me you're going to love me next week. Because there's a lot of little runtish stuff could happen between now and next week between us. I need to see your love for me immediately in order for me not to be afraid of your love. Then let me see it now. If you don't want me to be afraid of your love, give it to me now. If you don't want me to be afraid of you, give me the best of you now. Don't tell me you're going to give me the best 2 weeks from now after I pass a series of tests. You give it to me now, and then I won't be afraid of it. And if I give you my love and my integrity and my caring now, then you won't be afraid either, because you'll be experiencing the good stuff from me now. And if you're experiencing the good stuff from me now, why would you be afraid of losing from being with me? You couldn't be afraid of losing from being with me if I'm treating you right now, but if I tell you I'll treat you right later, then you have a right not to trust me, because I'm going to be afraid of what you might do to me until you really start showing me. So you got to give it to me now. I want the peace now. I want the love now. I want the trust now. If we're going to reach out to each other in the same way, are we waiting until we finish the Course in Miracles or a million other workshops or a million other books? Are you waiting for your happiness? Are you waiting to after you get that promotion, after you finish school, after you lose weight, after you get a... Well, then you've created a big, wide space where you could be hurt.
Yeah.
Because giving and receiving is the same. I'm not going to receive it until I give it. So if I'm waiting to give it, I'm holding off the time of me receiving it. And of course, in that time that I'm not giving love, I can receive fear. Man, that makes so much sense that it don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? It makes so much sense that it don't make sense. I love how we're totally capable of understanding sanity. It's just that we don't hear it too often, so it's kind of strange when we try to hear it again. It's like, wait a minute, that makes sense.
Well, when we hear sanity, we make it, when we hear sanity, we as a society, me as an individual, make up excuses for why that person isn't sane.
Right, because we have to have justification for not trusting now. And it makes sense if I don't trust right now, if you're showing me a lot of reasons why I shouldn't trust you right now. So I need justification to maintain my fear. I've got to have justification not to trust you. So if I don't want to trust you, then I create justification. So at the level of consciousness and mind, then I set up situations constantly through my own consciousness to prove to me that I shouldn't trust people because I'm afraid to. And so I need justification for not doing that. So I draw all these people and circumstances in my life that justify me not opening my heart. And I don't realize that I'm creating them just from my need to justify not trusting now. So it really started with me being afraid to trust and to give now. And always waiting for it to come to me first before I'll give it. People don't know that. The pain is coming while you're in the waiting room. The waiting to care, the waiting to love, the waiting to open up. And then the man said, well, I remember that last time you tried to do that, and then you did that, and then you got really hurt. That's the justification. And you can't judge anything about how your life can be now based on the way you used to be. That's crazy anyway. That person hurt in the past was you when you thought you deserved to be hurt, and you were probably more ignorant than you are now about things. So you got exactly what you deserve from the level of consciousness you were on then, but that doesn't mean you're there now, so you can't judge what happened the last time you tried to trust somebody if you've changed now. So all you're saying really is that you haven't changed. That's what you're really saying, because this new situation and this new person isn't the old situation and the old person, and you're saying you're not the same person you were then. Well, if you're not the same person you were then, why do you think you're going to get the same results that you got when you did it then? Only if you haven't changed. And you know whether you have or not. And if you honestly haven't, you're right. You are going to recreate it. If you know you haven't changed since that last relationship, you damn right the next one going to kick your butt. Just because you change stoves don't mean you change hands. You know what I'm saying? It's like if it's the same me going into the next relationship and I know I haven't worked on my consciousness in that intervening period, of course I'm going to draw the same situation again to me out of the next person that I'm with. And my ego mind has said, well, that proves I can't trust people. Now it just proves you haven't changed. That's all. And you're innocent. Wow. You're not bad. You just haven't changed. And you haven't really changed, according to the Course, unless you've changed in one way. That you're no longer saying that something were different outside of me, I'd be happy. Now, if you're still singing that song, you haven't changed and you're recreating. If that song is still your song, but if your song is now, no, if I were different, I'd be happy. That's the way it really works. You know, whatever I want, I'll be it so I can have it. Now, that's different. You know what I mean? You know, if I'm in a relationship and it's not working out, and I go, well, what did I do to create this situation for myself? How am I looking at it that's bringing this to myself? And I'm going to look at that first. Now, I'm different. But if it's just another person to blame, how is that different from the other person to blame? And how is that different from the other person to blame? And how is it different? Oh, I guess because I'm old to blame and it's going to change. I guess when you're blaming it 13 and you're blaming it 23 and you're blaming it 44, it's different because you got more elderly blame. So I really have changed. I have 56-year-old blame now, so that's different. You know. Boy, I swear I can't believe the numbers I'm throwing around myself. That's why I got to get my act together. I don't have a lot of time. I used to mess around in my 20s. Oh, I got plenty of time. All I saw was eternal life right there. You know, just like a guy told me, like my spiritual teacher said to me one time. You know, it was like age is a different thing. So by the time you get to 40, you know, at that point you realize that most of the stuff you planned ain't gonna happen. The way you planned it. The way you planned it. That's when the spirituality begins to first set in. You realize that, okay, the universe doesn't obey the scripts of a person that only cares about themselves. Okay, so all my little plans are in here. But there's this bridge, you know, that you don't see the other side of the bridge yet because you're still so young. You don't see the other side of the bridge. You just got endless time to keep doing the same things that don't work with different people. Endless time. One of my favorite lines in the Course is he talks about nobody's doing you a favor to tell you that always exist and everything is right. I went, why? Because you don't have time enough to try all of them. I went, what? You don't have time enough to try every way. Every way might be right, but you don't have time enough to try all of them. So for you, it would be more loving if you thought of a way that was right for you and a way that was wrong for you. You would make a better decision and you'll save yourself a lot more time than to go, any way that I go is right for me. Because we know that's not true. We know that that's cruel to say at an intellectual, spiritual level. But all of us know that we don't experience everything we do as feeling good and right for us. We all know that. We know that everything you tried to do did not work out in a way that gave you joy and pleasure. So if you make the ways that make you feel pain right and the ways that make you feel pleasure right, how can you tell the difference between what's the way for you that brings you peace? You got to make a decision. You got to say, you know, the weight is bringing me conflict, attack, sadness, depression, illness, and lack. I'm not going to say that's the right way. That's the wrong way for me. The right way for me is the way that brings peace and joy and abundance and health and unity and oneness. For me, that's the right way. Well, the other way you can learn a lot of lessons. Forget the lessons if it's a bunch of pain. I don't want to learn through a bunch of pain. That's what you say if you've already made a wrong decision and trying to make the best of it. That's when you go, well, that was a lesson I needed to learn. That's the best way in the world to look at it after you're screwed up. And then that keeps you from, you know, from it just being a total wash. You know, you learn some valuable lessons. But don't believe that you couldn't have learned without the pain. Don't believe that you couldn't have learned without the pain. Don't make pain necessary unless you want to suffer. But if you do choose for pain, then see the pain and say, let me learn. What is the lesson behind this so that I won't have to go through this again? That's when you do that. You go, well, what was the lesson in this so I won't have to recreate that? The pain is letting me know that I'm deceiving myself some kind of way. I'm misperceiving something some kind of way. You know, it's like when you have a deep pain in your body. You don't go, boy, I love this pain. I just want to keep it. You take that pain as a signal. You got something wrong. You need to check out. And if your life is full of pain, there's something wrong in your perception that you need to check out. So the time you spend trying to make it okay should be the time you go into your spiritual doctor to see if you can get something done about it.
Thank you.
You know, that's the truth. Because you don't deserve to suffer. You don't deserve to suffer. Our Creator didn't create us to suffer.
Amen.
That's what we made up, out of guilt. You know, only guilty minds believe in punishment. You know, and what we want for somebody else is what we really want for ourselves. So if you're the kind of person that always wants everybody else to be punished, you know what you're going to do to yourself the minute you make a mistake. You're going to call the whole wrath of the universe down on your behind. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. How come it's when everybody else makes a mistake, they ought to be hung from the highest peak, but when I make a mistake, everybody ought to forgive me? You ever notice that? You know, even the worst criminal will be the ones that ask for mercy. You know? The truth is, I better start wanting for everybody else what I want for myself. If any of this oneness stuff is true, I better start giving what I want to receive. If any of this oneness stuff is true, I better start being what I want to have. If any of this stuff is true. Let's see what else in this fun book that we can take a look at. Okay, so it says, salvation is immediate. Happiness and peace is immediate. Unless you so perceive it as immediate, you will be afraid of it because you will believe that the risk of loss is great between the time its purpose is made yours and its effects will come to you. In this form is the error still obscured that is the source of your fear. The truth is, peace, salvation, right-mindedness, I'm giving you Course in Miracles definitions, would wipe out the space you see between you still and let you instantly become as one. Peace and happiness would wipe out the space that we see between us right now. We instantly become as one. If we experience peace and happiness with each other and peace and joy with each other right now, then we would be feeling oneness. We would be feeling oneness out of our mutual joy. So when you're with somebody and both of you are feeling really happy together, that is oneness. That is the feeling of oneness. It's not all our bodies glued together. Even though for some people that would be a great idea. But it's really... that's some people's idea of happiness. You know. But the truth is, happiness, I'm experiencing oneness with you right now. If you and I are experiencing peace with each other right now. If all of us feeling cool with each other right now, we're experiencing oneness right now. That's what oneness is. Oneness is not feeling afraid, feeling safe, and connected.
Yeah.
So it's not an abstract concept. If we're feeling trust for each other right now, peace with each other right now, we're experiencing a form of oneness right now. And this is the way you should feel in every situation, unafraid. He says, salvation will wipe out the space you see between you still and let you instantly become as one. And it is here you feel the fear the loss would be. I love that. What? Well, don't project the spirit to time. But time is not the enemy that you perceive. Time is as neutral as the body is, except in terms of what you see time for. Time is as neutral as the body. You can use time for joy, you can use time for pain. You can use time for abundance, and you can use time for lack. You can use your body for love, you can use your body for pain. You can use your body for peace, and you can use your body for conflict. So time and the body are both neutral. Your body is neutral. Your body is neither good nor bad. Your body is whatever you want to use your body for. So don't blame your body. Your body isn't making any decisions about what you do. Your body didn't make you do nothing. My body made me do it. I just couldn't help it. My body just took over. You know, now my mind took over and told my body to do what my body did. It's all in the mind. Your passion is in your mind. You turned on by somebody, it's in your mind. Here's an easy idea. You know, have you ever had somebody in your life where if they just touched you, you just felt like you were just going to explode? I hope some of y'all have. Anybody had that? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. I was hoping I wasn't the only one. I'm good. Okay. Notice that they could touch you like on your shoulder, for instance, and you go, oh. Okay. Right? Now, if you... Let's say you didn't know me, and I came up and I touched you in that same spot. That might be frightening. Right? So, obviously, it wasn't the spot that made you feel that way. Mm-hmm. It was how you felt about it that made you feel that way. Yeah. Because if it was your body that made you feel it, you would have to feel it regardless of who touched you. Mm-hmm. Because it would just be automatic if it was your body. Mm-hmm. That's what the chords are telling us. Your body is neutral. It's you. It's your mind that's determining whether it's good or bad, whether it gives you joy or gives you pain. And so the chord says that's the same thing about the whole entire earth. That's true about everything. Everything is neutral. Everything is neutral in the world. It's neither good nor bad. He says it's what you want to use it for. It's the purpose you want to use it for that determines what it is for you. So don't blame your body about anything. Your body is innocent. Your body is sinless. Your body is guiltless. Your body never made its mind up to do anything to you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And your body does not care how it looks. You do. You do. Yeah, your body doesn't care how it looks. It doesn't think about it. It doesn't focus in on it at all. So you must not be your body. You must not be your body. It's you that has an opinion about it. Which means you must be something else.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much better your body will function when you stop identifying with it as being you. You have a body. You have a car, maybe. But you're not it, even though you say stuff like, somebody hit me in traffic yesterday. Even though it was going to hit your car. But that's just how much we identify with our possessions. And our body is a possession we identify with so much we think it is us. And then we lose sight of our spiritual identity. Now we are our bodies. And that's the error. How successful could you be if you believe you're something that you're not? So pain is coming from forgetting who we really are. Pain isn't really coming from the external circumstances. It's coming from forgetting we're children of God, that we're unlimited created beings. That's what the problem is. It's an identity problem. That's the only problem we have, is an identity problem. If I knew who I was, then I wouldn't have any problems. If I knew who my father or mother is, I wouldn't have any problems. The problem is coming from me forgetting who I am. See, that's where my problem's coming from. I'm forgetting I love you. I forget who I am. You know, if you have amnesia, I had a friend that for a few days lost his memory. And so he couldn't remember anything he knew how to do. Which was a little bit more of a struggle. Right? But you know what happened when he remembered who he was? He instantly knew how to do all the things he knew how to do again. There wasn't a learning curve. Think about that for a minute.
You're going crazy. That's what I'm saying.
It's interesting how everything strange that can happen happens. But it might be a bird. It might actually be something on the music. Anyway. In other words, if you are a totally unlimited creative being that has at your disposal the power to create the life that you want instantaneously, but now you think you don't have that power, it just means you've forgotten that you can do that. So the minute you remember who you are, you'll instantaneously be able to claim all your power again and manifest it. You don't have to learn to be who you are. If you remember who you are, then you can instantly use all the talents that you have. Just like as soon as my friend remembered who he was, he knew how to drive, he knew how to do everything else. He didn't go to driving school when his amnesia was over. He would have had to go to driving school if he kept his amnesia. So all of the struggle that we do is coming from forgetting who we are. And as soon as we remember who we are, we will know all things and we will have the peace and the power that's our divine right. So the time we spend trying to learn how to drive while we got amnesia should be time that we're using to remember who we are so we can actually know we already know how to drive. Mm-hmm. See the difference? Mm-hmm. So my class is for amnesia victims of God. The people who want to remember they're loved, remember they are loved, remember they are innocent, remember they are powerful, remember they are not alone, remember that they are blessed. It's for people who want to remember who they are, not people who want to make up their happiness again when they don't really know what it is. I don't want to go on another hunt. But the minute when he remembered who he was, he instantly knew what he liked. And he also knew what he wanted. You see what I mean? It's about remembering. Okay? So it says right here, he says, time is as neutral as the body is, except in terms of what you see it for. If you would keep a little space, can't believe it's 10 minutes to 8. If you would keep a little space between you and your brother still, you then would want a little time in which forgiveness is withheld a little while. What did that just say? If I still don't want to be joined with you, then I'm going to need a little bit more time to forgive you. If I don't want to be joined with you, I'm going to need a little. You know, some people don't want to forgive because they think it means they have to go to lunch with the person. But if they're not friends, they're totally justified for not joining with them. But if I forgive you, then I might have to actually do things with you. So some people don't want to forgive because they still want some space. Because the minute you really forgive, you don't want no space. You want to connect. So if I really don't want to connect with you, then I'm going to figure out a reason to keep forgiveness not happening between us for a while. Because I don't want to be with you. So, wish y'all could see your faces. Yeah, I like at the beginning, people kind of like start out real animated, and then about 50 minutes into the class, it's like. To see people turn into stone right before your eyes. And the Course in Miracles teaches that the truth immobilizes the false self. That the false self, it literally immobilizes it. It becomes paralyzed. Like for instance, if you give somebody love and they believe in fear, then you'll watch them go like this. The more loving you are toward them. What's the benefit of that? It protects you. Because the more loving you are, people who would harm you just become immobilized. So it really protects you. The more loving you are, people who are afraid of love, and those are the people who might hurt you, they run. And they try to get away from you unless you corner them. And you're cornering them if you're trying to have a relationship with them that they don't want to have with you. Mm-hmm. So if you corner a fearful person, then that's when they attack. Because if you're really loving, and if you're definitely more loving than they're capable of being loving, they're trying to protect you by either thinking that you're a liar or they're trying to get away from you because they don't trust you. Either one of those choices are protection for you. Unless you're so insane, you want to corner them. Because I like the way they look. Rejection is protection and redirection. Rejection is protection and redirection. Rejection is protection and redirection. If I'm rejecting you, I'm redirecting you. If I'm rejecting you, I'm redirecting you. I'm rejecting you, I'm protecting you. Why I'm rejecting you, that's your protection. I couldn't appreciate you. I don't want you. I'm afraid of you. Get away from me. I'm protecting you, because if I saw you correctly, I wouldn't be rejecting you. If I love you, I wouldn't be rejecting you. So my rejection is protection and redirection. You're saving me time. I'm trying to save you some time. I can't give you what you want. So I'm trying to save you some time. I'm rejecting you. I can't give you what you want. So that means I'm redirecting you in a direction of where that desire can possibly be met. So those who reject you should be sent cards. It should be sent cards. Thank you so much for rejecting me. You saved me so much time. God bless you. I love you. Thank you.
Where do you find us?
Well, Chuck, that could be the answer to any prosperity problem you have. You could just start a whole line of cards. It'd be like that could be your prosperity there.
Your function here.
Oh my goodness.
Last sentence in that paragraph. I'm not gonna rush through this section, because this the immediacy of happiness and having a healing immediately and having an answer immediately is not something I want to rush through. I can't rush through things I want us to have immediately. That's just, you know, I also plan to be spontaneous. So next Thursday, I'm going to continue with the immediacy of happiness, because this is laying the foundation for how you have it now. Okay, and so if you have your book, go ahead and read that section. It'll be so much easier to grok it if you read it beforehand. If you don't have the book, that's okay. I don't mind still sharing it anyway. But I want to move slow enough to this that we really get, how do I get past this time lag between me asking for my healing and having the healing now? That's what this section is about. And it's a very powerful section. And the last sentence in that paragraph says, I'll read the whole sentence. If you would keep a little space between you and your brother still, you then would want a little time in which forgiveness is withheld a little while. And this, what is this? This little time in which forgiveness is withheld a little while, but makes the interval between the time in which forgiveness is withheld from you and given seem dangerous, with your terror justified. So the terror is coming from that little interval of time between when I give my forgiveness and when I think my forgiveness is going to come, the benefits of my forgiveness is going to come back to me. But the truth is, I still want a little space between us still. And that's why I'm withholding my forgiveness. I'm not withholding my forgiveness because of what I think you did to me. I'm withholding my forgiveness because I'm not ready to join with you yet. And as long as I'm not ready to join with you yet, then I'm going to withhold my forgiveness a little. So if I want to forgive, it will come from me making the decision that I want to join. So it's after the decision to join that forgiveness happens. It's not the other way around. You forgive and then you join. It's the other way around. You decide to join, then you forgive. And as long as I don't want to join, I don't want to forgive. And then all the things I say you did becomes my justification for not forgiving. And that's the way the whole routine works. So it all loops back to, do I want to join with you or do I want to separate from you? And that's what I ask people when they think they got a separation with me. Before they run down whatever it is they think they're upset about, that they wish I had done differently, I try to ask, Before we get into this discussion, do you want to join with me, or do you want to separate from me? Now, if you want to separate from me, there's nothing I can say or do that's going to change anything. So it would be another one of those fruitless arguments that nobody changes because they don't really want to join. So if you kind of ask that in the very beginning, it'll save you a whole lot of time. I know you're upset, I'm upset, you're upset. Yeah, I know, I didn't do this, you didn't do that. We're upset, alright, here we go again, we're doing our dance. Alright, hold it, before we do the dance again, do you really love me and do you really want to join with me and do you really want to heal with me and do you really want to have peace with me? Or, the truth is you've already made up your mind and all you really want to do is separate, so therefore nothing I say or do is going to change your mind anyway. And we're just going through the motions so that you can feel justified in separating, which is what you want to do already. Because if you really didn't want to separate from me, then you'd be looking for ways for us to join and you wouldn't be emphasizing all the reasons why you can't trust me. So the fact that you're emphasizing all the reasons why you can't trust me is telling me what you really want to do is separate. So why don't you just really get real and just tell me you want to separate? And let's save some time. It freaks people out when you put that much sand down on them at one time. It's just like they don't even know what to do. What? Because you know, we all know. When you sit down, you know. When you're upset with somebody, you know when you sit down, whether you're sitting down with the attitude that you don't want to trust them no more, you want to hold a grievance, and you want to be separate, and you know whether when you sit down with them, you're going in your heart, oh, I really hope we can get through this and come to the other side of this and really join and still be together. You know that when you sit down, and they know it when they sit down.
And none of it's really what even happened. It's all your perception anyway.
And that's why if you want to get beyond it, you know you can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it is just your perception ultimately anyway that's upsetting you to begin with.
Right.
You know, that's what I said.
Somebody to pick up.
Thank you. And for some people, that's the purpose of a special relationship.
Yep.
Is to have somebody to pick on a regular basis. And then for some people, the purpose of a relationship is to have someone to heal with and know love with and know joy with and to grow with and get out of their amnesia together with so that they can experience all of the beauty that we were born to receive. Those are the only kind of two relationships that people have. That's it. And I'm here to support the one that you've blessed bountifully.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening to this much with me tonight. Awesome. So we're gonna make a couple of quick announcements. Do the love offering based on just what advertisers want you to believe your values should be in order to sell their products. Don't believe what anybody told you. They told you were sinful and you were guilty and you don't deserve to be happy. You know, don't believe that game about God being cruel and punishing. It's a lie. You know it's a lie. You wouldn't even be sitting up here if a part of you didn't know it was a lie, that we were created by love and not by fear. And that hell is a place that we make through our fear. The course is so funny. It teaches that, you know, you're worried about hell? Don't worry about it. You're already in it. What you're trying to do is transform it. You're trying to wake up from it. You know, if you're in a place where you could be afraid, where you could lose those you love, that what else do you think hell is? You're already in hell. So it's not as time to get out. And that's such a trip. We are like the prisoners that, you know, huddling together, getting ready to make the great escape. And there's some people you shouldn't even tell about your escape plan. Because they'll try to stop you. And they'll tell you that you're crazy. And you'll tell yourself that you're crazy for even thinking that you could experience unlimited love and happiness. Some of us feel like we're betraying our upbringing if we even think for a second that we could possibly be okay. Suppose you looked inside yourself and you saw there wasn't anything wrong with you and there is nothing missing and you don't need fixing. You know? So I'm here to remind you of who you are. So let's take 1 minute to center in before we come into the airport. Take a breath. What I'd like for you to do is to remind yourself, say God, speaking within yourself, say God's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. That which created me wants me to be happy. That which created me wants me to be happy. That which created me wants me to experience love. Claim it for yourself. Claim it for yourself. God's will for me is perfect happiness. And I share God's will for perfect happiness for me. God's will for me is perfect happiness. 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 Now, I want to ask those in the room that feel like claiming it for themselves in a verbal way, outwardly, who's willing to put a little enthusiasm in it, to say it with me, and those who want to be silent, please, I beg of you, be silent. That's the deal. Now here we go. God's will for me is perfect happiness. 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 Those are available, and may the course be with you.
See y'all. Sunday is 1 o'clock. Next class. Thank you for being in my life.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you, Earl. Does everybody know that... What's your name?
Does everybody know that what's her name is coming?
What's your name is coming? Marianne Williamson's coming.
When?
June 15th.
June 15th.
Lakewood is at Spider Church.
At the...